Facebook. We're gonna go live on YouTube in a minute. What's up, Facebook? If you can see me, say hi. We have Mike Salvietti in the house. Let me see if I can get you going here. Yeah, that's what I do. Yeah, sometimes it's distracting, but that's what I do. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. We are gonna start here in just about 10-ish minutes. It's going to be, I think, the best show ever. I don't mean to oversell it, but I just think it'll be the best one that we've ever done in life. So that'll be cool. It's going to be the best episode ever because we got Mike here. Yeah, exactly. let's see if we can... whatever we need to do. If you can nip slip real quick, that would be super helpful. You can end up on some stuff. You're on there, by the way, right now, on the whole interweb saying hello. We're live on Facebook, and let me check up the YouTube. YouTube is up too, so for you YouTubers, don't worry. I'm pulling up your comments right now. Like a week or two, I forgot to pull up their comments, and they were like, what the hell, man? Like, why aren't you watching? So, we're going to get started here in just about 8 minutes. We got Mike Salvietti in the house, which is going to be amazing. He's a Facebook ads pro. Facebook nerd is good, but he specifically is like the expert with ForFit Pros. He is like the secret person who came up with kind of like Facebook advertising for Fit Pros. So it's going to be pretty awesome. I'm excited to have him here. I'm honored that he would even jump on with me. So that's cool. Let's see how our live stream. Can you hear my mic? Corey says he can't hear Mike. Corey, can you hear? Oh, he can't hear Mike. Let me see. Mike. Let me see. There you go. Mike, you want to jump off for me really quick and jump back in? See if that fixes it? Awesome. Thanks, Corey. Appreciate you. We're going to try this one more time with Mr. Salvietti. See if we can get some streaming work in here today. So that'll be cool. Corey, you are a wizard, my friend. That's all I got to say. So I had a really interesting adventure at Big Bear this weekend, for those of you guys who care, which I'm guessing is at least somebody, maybe Corey. We pulled up to this cabin, and it ended up being this, like, this nightmare of a cabin. Like, it's literally, like, couldn't be a joke. So, Corey can't hear. Yeah, so I ended up in some nightmare of a cabin. Mike, what's up, man? I'm gonna go over to him. I'm gonna pattern interrupt this story really quick and go over to Mike. Mike, why don't you say hello? And if you guys can hear Mike, Mike's just gonna tell us his favorite color and his favorite donut. And if you guys can hear it, type it in the comments so that we know his sound is working. Dude, Boston Crab. They used to be my favorite for a real long time. Actually, I love donuts. My old manager at the gym, we used to get donuts every. We used to have cheat days, like collectively as a gym, and we would all get all the donuts, and it was just the worst. But it was super good. Yeah. So, anyway, I'm gonna. What's up, Savvy? How's it going, man? And I'm gonna go ahead and share this real quick. And I don't know if you want to share it anywhere. You don't have to, but you can since you're investing your time here. And sweet, man. I'm going to share this real quick. Yeah, so I was at Big Bear Lake. Savvy, I actually had a terrible experience at Big Bear. So have you ever been to Big Bear, Mike? Yeah, I know you're from SoCal. That's why I asked. Yeah. Would you ever move back to SoCal, or are you a New York man for life? Wow, okay. Oh no, that's gonna be a hot mess. I was thinking about that the other day. One of my high school reunions is coming up soon. I'm like, I don't know if I wanna go to that. Like, I think I'm gonna just hard pass on that. I don't need to see where anybody else is right now. I think it'll be fine. But I was excited Who is? You can't hear you. I can hear you fine. Let me see if it's... Oh, it's my fault. It has nothing to do with you. Shh. Obviously. Can you hear him now?
And I'm staring right at his dick.
He's staring right... lucky for you. No, it's fine. Let me get you up here. I bet they can hear Mike now. Mike, you were saying you're from SoCal?
Yeah, originally from SoCal. San Diego. Vista, Oceanside, Carlsbad area.
Yeah. Yeah, but what was I saying? Oh, yeah, so I went to Big Bear for the first time, and we rented an Airbnb, and it was a little bit of a nightmare, only kind of. We, the house was, 40 degrees. It didn't have any heat in there or anything. And what else was wrong with the house? There was, mice in it. The entrance covered in snow. So, my wife and I got there, and we're like, you know what? I think we're just not supposed to be here this weekend. And so we made the 3-hour trek, turned right around, 3 hours back, killed our Saturday.
Damn.
Just driving in LA traffic. It was a good time. So anyway, yeah, that's what I was doing. What have you been up to, man? Did you do anything cool this weekend? Did you get stuck in traffic?
What did I do this weekend? I mean, well, we had the Super Bowl, so that was awesome.
Did you go to a party or anything?
Yeah, you know what's funny is we went to a party, me and my girlfriend, and my girlfriend's a psychotherapist / yoga instructor, and she likes to dabble. She likes to test her manifestation skills. So long story short, I blame her for the major comeback because she likes to test it. She's like, all right, it's 2028 right now. And I'm like, she's like, are we manifesting that they get a touchdown and a 2-point conversion? I said, yes, manifest it.
That's amazing. Are you a Cats fan?
No, I honestly don't even watch football. The only sport that I'm really into following is probably MMA.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Awesome. Yeah, I didn't watch any football this year, and I wanted the Falcons to win. But by the end of it, I was like, you know what? I want the Pats to win. This is such a well-earned victory. Yeah. I found myself, jumping on the bandwagon 100%. Fake fan. Totally. And but yeah, I mean, it was just such an amazing game. I was almost gonna turn it off, and then they started scoring a few, and I was like, let's just see, when the Falcons score one more, we'll stop watching.
Yeah.
And they never scored that one more. They were just there. So it was pretty cool. Yeah, that's interesting. Your girlfriend, did I tell you my wife is this full-on yogi hippie unicorn?
No.
Did I not tell you that when we talked? Dude, so my wife, I put it in my daily emails. My wife is literally a yoga instructor and a spiritual life coach as well.
That's awesome.
And she has a yoga room. It's her office / yoga room. And you go in there and it just feels different. You feel like you walked into another dimension a little bit.
I hope you have a man cave to balance it out.
This is kind of the man cave. This isn't a big enough house yet because I didn't realize Southern California just charges you more money and gives you smaller houses. But
you get a yard. Right,
for the most part. Yeah, I do have a yard, and the next house we get, I will have my own I think a man cave / workout room, because I hate going to the gym because I hate sharing, and it takes forever. So anyway, what's up, Chris RC Evans? So we're here with Mike Salvietti, who is a Facebook Ads pro. He is here to talk about specifically Facebook ads for Fit Pros. We're going to get started in just under a minute here. If you have questions about Facebook ads in any regard, but especially for Fit Pros, please put them in the comments, because that's why I bring really smart people here, because I don't know really anything. I just know smart people because I'm lucky, because I manifested it. So otherwise, I don't have that much skill. So if you have specific questions, throw them in the comments below. Anything from, what kind of campaigns are working now? I mean, those are the questions I have, versus the old school ads and what should your cost per application be? All those sorts of things, because Mike does this stuff day in and day out, specifically for FitPro. So we're going to get started here in just about 14 seconds, and we're going to do our little intro jingle. We got to make it. I want to make it something like a little cartoon that runs by. We'll get that eventually. So anyways, we'll get this going.
You need a smart passive income intro.
I totally do. Welcome to episode 11 of AJTV, the worst name show on the internet, where we interview top level entrepreneurs, marketers, investors, speakers, authors, all a bunch of really smart people. We get their ninja secrets and then we use them for our own desires. Thank you for watching. If you're excited, hit me with some hearts and let's go ahead and cue intro.
Oh, that's not a bad intro.
Once again, thank you for being here on AJTV episode 11. I'm here with Mike Salvietti. What is up, Mike?
How we doing?
I am amazing. Dude, thanks so much for being here. I really appreciate you. I know you're supposed to be on last week. I think it was a divine intervention that we ended up having to push it to today. What do you got going on, man?
Not a whole lot now. I mean, it's funny because I built a huge gym business and ended up feeling like I built my own prison because for what I had in my zone of genius of marketing and promoting and selling, I lacked the systems and the delegation and was kind of the type that likes to do everything myself. So I ended up closing my gym to do the whole internet laptop lifestyle. And now I pretty much run my FitPro Facebook Academy, and then I run ads for mostly other gyms and then other service-based businesses.
Awesome, dude. So that was a really cool qualifier. So let's go a little bit more into it, because I love the story you have about how you opened your gym and where it came from. So why don't you go into where did you start exactly? I mean, I know you had your gyms and I know they were doing well, but where did this all start for you when it comes to personal training? Like, did you just like always want to be a personal trainer? I needed a part-time job and ended up founding a gym. That's literally my story. It's in my book that we're releasing here in like a month or so. But anyway, what inspired you to become a trainer, dude?
Well, I think a big part of it was, relatively to other people who live in San Diego, where it's like five car garage, I came up relatively rough upbringing and didn't see college in my future because the thought of, burdening my parents with paying for that or trying to pay for it myself, it just seemed like a no-go. So literally through high school, I just did the bare minimum to graduate with like C's and D's. And, I think like I did like a job shadow, like junior year of high school, I job shadowed out like a Lifetime Fitness in San Diego. Back then it was like probably like the best gym in like a 200 mile radius. And I just figured, oh, that looks like it pays well. I'll do that. I love to work out. I play football, all that fun stuff.
I love your honesty. It's the best.
Yeah. So that's kind of how I fell into it. And what's funny was playing football in high school, I wanted to learn about plyometrics. So I subscribed to a website that was owned by Ryan Lee.
Ah, okay.
It was like one of his fitness websites. And then somehow when he transitioned from fitness to marketing, I kind of stayed on his email list. And then I started hearing about becoming like, this internet fitness guru and selling an ebook and all that stuff. And I kind of like got it in my head really early on that I wanted to do this entrepreneurially. I think I did like an economics project my senior year of high school, where my economics project was literally, start a business type of thing. And mine was a fitness blog. And they asked me like, how are you going to make money with a fitness blog? And I was like, I don't know. I just heard that this guy makes money with a fitness blog. And they gave me I got a D.
You got a D. Yeah. Like, well, he did the work.
Yeah. Fast forward to now.
So it's fine, but exactly. Fast forward to now, internet marketer, you're like, you don't even know, teacher. Seriously. That's awesome. Dude, when I was a kid, I had it in my head I wanted to be an internet entrepreneur for a long time. Like, I don't remember those coffee house millionaire like websites that existed and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, there was actually an official one. It's been rebranded as something else. Somebody showed me the other day because I posted it on my Facebook page. And I remember like just studying it. And, I was like a kid. I was like 12. I'm like, I have $0. I cannot buy any of these courses, no matter how valuable or scammy they are. Everything felt more scammy back then too, I feel like. Like, things feel a little bit more legitimate now. It's really hard for there to be like these pop-ups, and it's like, wait, you know, get our last stitch thing. It doesn't look as bad now as it used to. But I had it the same kind of thing in my brain where I wanted that coffee shop like lifestyle or whatever. So okay, cool. So you're now this internet marketer. So what are you doing in terms of internet marketing? How did you even get into that? Like, how does one start becoming an internet marketer?
You know, I feel like it definitely helps to have a business that you market first, obviously. Okay. I don't know personally any internet marketers who started out very successfully right from the get-go marketing for other people's businesses, or unless they were like doing it as an employee. But it really came from just kind of falling in love with that process through my own business, you know. And I think a lot of it also came from contributing so much, being in a lot of masterminds in the fitness industry and a lot of coaching programs and a lot of Facebook groups, and just adding value, not ever like trying to be a guru or anything like that. Yeah. Definitely, because, you know, even just now, like, I still don't have like any type of branded website up promoting myself.
Right.
But, you know, it gets out. People say, hey, I recommend this guy. Hey, I recommend that guy for different things. And it's really just kind of, you know, kind of fell into it pretty gracefully.
Totally. Yeah. So, let's talk about Facebook ads for FitPro. So you actually came up with the whole huge opportunity. For those of you guys who knows what huge op ads are for Facebook marketing, any of my clients know because it's the first thing I teach them. it's the second thing I teach them. First thing I teach them is sales. How did you even come up with that? Where did that come from, man?
Well, back in, I'd say, early 2014, late 2013, the big landing pages building software back then was still like Optimized Press or like Lead Pages. And back then it was still a lot harder to build websites and landing pages than it is now. Just to think, like, it wasn't even that long ago, but back then it was still harder to build out like landing pages and funnels. And when Facebook was still kind of like the Wild West then. So it really came out of pure laziness. One day I was like, you know, I know I'm supposed to write, you know, ad copy that speaks to a certain audience, but what if I just blatantly called out the audience? Like I said, you know, I have a huge opportunity for guys that are between this age and want to do this, and then literally targeted guys that were in that range. And then instead of, you know, a landing page, just sent them to like a WooFoo form.
Right.
And back then too, like the image, they weren't strict on the images yet. So it was just be like, it would just be like some hot guy with a red or blue border or a hot girl.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how that started. And at the time I was actually running a boot camp out of a church gymnasium. So even in those circumstances back then, because the competition was so low, I was still able to grow to about 250 to 300,000 a year out of a church gymnasium. So I was doing pretty good then, but it really blew up with Facebook ads. And I was able to kind of just stay on the forefront of all the changes, you know?
Yeah. And I remember too, and I'm sure Chris Jarvis is on here too. Chris Jarvis making fun of me saying the first thing I teach people is to make their beds, which is actually the truth. I do tell people to make their bed. No, dude, making the bed changed my life. But yeah, with like, I'm sure Chris Jarvis and some of the people watching here are familiar who've been using Facebook ads for like 3-4 years or longer, right? Where you used to kind of just throw up everything. Like you said, Wild West is a good way to put it. Like,
yeah,
nobody was using Facebook ads, so you could throw anything up there and it would get so much traction.
See what sticks.
Exactly. No, 100%. And you could do it for way cheaper. Like now, you know, applications and emails are a lot more expensive. They're not outrageously expensive still, I don't think. But they cost what you would expect it to cost in any market. You know, an email for under $5 was always considered a win, right? An application for under, you know, 50, I would say 20 for the fitness industry is considered a win. And that's kind of where we've ended up now. But 3 years ago, you could literally get applications in. And there's still some markets where you can get applications in for like $1, $2. Like I remember running ads for $10 a day and thinking about jumping it up to 15. I'm like, I don't know if I can afford that. Like, I'm like, I don't know if I need that many apps because you could just get them in for nothing. And now you need to kind of like shift what you're doing to build it for sustainability. So,
One of the biggest realizations I came to when it came to running ads for other businesses was when I actually branched outside of gyms and realized that when in terms of local businesses, there's so many markets that are so unsaturated that it still is like that. It still is super easy. And, you know, those businesses are like the easiest clients for me compared to a gym.
Right.
Gyms are harder because we're all competing. I feel like fitness is this sounds horrible, but I feel like fitness is like the porn industry in that they're always like first to test new marketing boundaries.
Learned a lot about you today, Mike. But totally. Like, yeah. And I've seen, you know, all the agency people I talk to kind of say the same thing where like gyms are kind of easy to start with, but then because they sell, some of them tend to sell so low ticket that it ends up not getting the revenue that they actually need, you know? So and a lot of times we get so focused on the today sale that we forget that this client, like we could keep them for forever and you would have, you know, your revenue built for forever, your culture built for forever. It's going to be easier and they're going to refer people. They're going to be a walking billboard. And so we're finding, I think what I'm finding is that you have to actually be a good trainer again. Otherwise, your Facebook ads can't cover a crappy actual gym, which is a good thing, I think. So, yeah.
Yeah. I never feel like marketing is against us in any way. Like all these platforms, they don't want us to do bad, they want us to do good. So I always keep that mindset. There's an abundance there.
Totally. So what types of, let's say, marketing campaigns do you, I know you have your Facebook Fit Pro Academy. What kind of marketing campaigns do you teach like right now? Like what's working today, February 2017, and what's going to continue working into the year of 2017 in terms of different types of campaigns for Fit Pros? I mean, I have my thoughts, but I'd love to hear what your thoughts are.
Yeah, you know what? I think 2015 and 2016 were the years of challenges where it was just like challenge after challenge after challenge after challenge. Yeah, totally. And it's always like make a new hook around the challenge, like skinny jeans, black dress, fit mom, rip dad, you know. And Facebook's cracking down a lot on that stuff. Even recently, they're disapproving ads that are targeting men that only have men in the pictures, like silly things like that for local businesses. Wow. So first of all, a big thing about our industry being fitness professionals is leveraging the number one asset we have above all of our competition, which is our skill and our knowledge and our abilities as a coach. So I really am a big fan of events for low barrier entries for gyms, like something to invite people to.
Like, could you give me an example?
Well, big in like the CrossFit world is to do like a charity WOD or something like that, right?
Okay.
Depending on your gym, you could do like even like a strongman event or a bench press for charity or deadlift contest for charity. But even like the more, you know, gen pop gyms, they can do, you know, charity boot camps. They can do workshops. They can do seminars. You know, when I still had my gym, we would do a pumpkin charity workout in costumes. We would do a workout where you had to bring canned goods the day after Thanksgiving, called the turkey burn off workout. Like, simple things to invite people to, even just like a bring a friend day. And then just even going after very micro niche target audiences in a timely fashion. So, you know, before the summer, doing something that's targeted micro niche towards like teachers. On National Nurses Day, we would always target nurses for things. On Veterans Day, we would target veterans for, you know, free offers and stuff like that.
And when you say that target, you don't mean actually use the interest group in Facebook. You mean like call out to them in your ad copy, your headline, and your image. Is that correct?
Yeah, but in under things like, you know, job role and stuff, there is some deep targeting where you could actually say, only show this ad to nurses or only show this.
And that has been working out for you then.
Yeah, but I mean, there's always such a big context around it too, because it's like one day out of the year that most of the time you can do something like that, or like new brides who are, you know, engaged in the last. But usually I cast a pretty wide net.
Right.
Because I think what you'll find, and I think every Fit Pro that's on this right now will find, that if they took their top five clients right now and actually looked at their Facebook profiles, there'd probably be zero indicator that they're technically interested in fitness in terms of Facebook. Right. So targeting people interested in fitness in your area might just be targeting other trainers, people who are already at a gym and like it, and, you know, they might not be your best audience, or they're like the people that hop from Groupon to Groupon.
Totally. Yeah. I like the idea of doing the events because it kind of, it's weird. It's kind of like an older thing that like people were doing and people were teaching other people to do it. And then they ignored it because they were able to get like 50 cent applications literally. So they're like, whatever, I'm not going to even do anything else. They were able to be lazy, and now we're finding we can't be lazy. And yeah, I think that totally works. Charity events used to work really well for us. It worked really well for getting like significant others and relatives in. And then what we'd do is like, if it was a charity event, we would sell an LBO and say, half this money goes to charity also. So like you give them a reason to sign up that isn't, especially, I don't know, with in my area with dudes, and this was like, you know, like 10 years ago, so it's a little bit different, but like they had an ego about going to the gym. They're like, no, I don't need a trainer. I don't need a boot camp. I know how to do it. Nowadays, dudes are kind of cool with it. I think that's something great that boot camps and CrossFit have done. They've made it cool for guys to get instruction from other people. And, and yeah, and like, but back then they needed a reason in order to sign up. Oh, I don't need the help, right? Like they're just like, I'm just going for charity. I'm just going because my wife gets a free class if I go or something like that.
So there was a stint where ClassPass was actually advertising, you know, to guys to like insinuating that they would meet girls at the gym and get a class pass to go to like multiple gyms and interact with more women in classes. So that's kind of funny that you mentioned that. Definitely. And yeah, low-barrier offers are always going to be there, you know? And there is still methods that get applications for an LBO under $10, under $20. You know, integrating Facebook's new lead forms is huge right now, because it doesn't need to take them off of Facebook. Most people are on their mobile phone anyways. Right. You probably just have to write longer copy. So like a lot of the stuff that you would put on a landing page, you would put on a what's called a context card for the the lead form, or just put it in the copy of the ad. And those are doing really well right now. The only problem is it's literally just one step, because you're not getting people sent to a thank you page where they can do something else like schedule on their own.
Right.
Literally, you have to like figure out new integrations like Zapier, sending them an email autoresponder and notifying. I use that to notify clients when they get a lead through a lead form.
Okay, so you can still get the email into your autoresponder, but that's about it. You can't do any sort of redirects or anything off of lead forms or anything like that, right?
Yeah, but I mean, at the end of the day, most people, you know, Fit Pros, it's still an appointment-based business. You got to call people.
Right.
And I think, you know, getting applications is always going to be fantastic, but something cool about events is that it kind of streamlines pre-qualification. Like obviously you want to set up confirmations for them to be there, but you kind of know if somebody's going to show up on a very specific date and time to a specific location, that pretty much qualifies them for the most part to, you know, take any type of offer that you give them in person.
Right. Totally. No, that makes sense, man. I've been noticing that too. We're actually redoing. I told you this the other day. We're making our program. We're not changing it. We're just adding a whole bunch to it to make it more jam-packed. You'll probably get a Facebook training in there from Mike if we're lucky. Lead forms used to like kind of suck is what people used to think. Like,
yeah.
They used to think it didn't work at all because it was so new. But now you're finding more and more people using it because it is starting to convert because people feel comfortable staying in Facebook. And as we start seeing more and more messenger type ads get released to different levels of people, I think we'll see that start replacing even potentially landing pages because it's
autoresponders even all in the messenger app.
You can do it all. I mean, they have like bots that you can connect with your messenger. So growing that Facebook fan page and getting people to like actually like it who aren't from another country that you purchased, like real people to like it and localized people to follow your audience, is going to become huge because I think we're going to see Facebook over the coming like 2-3 years basically replace email almost.
Their messenger app, they're trying to.
Yeah.
And you know what you said about the lead form, this brings up a whole nother thing, is the context of who's saying it. The person who tells us that lead forms suck is the guy who has a 7-step funnel for a digital product.
Yeah.
And they're saying, good news, lead forms suck. You don't have to use them. Well, I just need to get somebody's information to call them. So, you know, I have dentists that, you know, free teeth cleaning, salons, free hair blowout. They just want to get their front desk people actually doing something other than sitting at the front desk. So they awesome. Love having the leads come in to follow up with for stuff like that.
Yeah. And it's funny, even Chris Jarvis is here watching and he's a client. He took the same principles kind of you and I teach, and he had his girlfriend do it for house cleaning. He said free house cleaning estimate, and they had like a 17% conversion, and her book was filled up within like 3 days or something ridiculous like that. So yeah, the digital marketing stuff still is working, and it is interesting to hear. Yeah, it's kind of like the same people who talk about how dumb membership sites are the ones who sell high ticket, and vice versa. The people who sell high ticket are the people who say high ticket is dumb have membership sites. Like everybody wants to say everybody else is wrong, and this is the only right way. And I think there's lots of right ways. You just got to find the thing that makes the most sense for you and your business and where you're at. Yes. David Norton's agreeing. Yes.
Haha.
Greg Califatic is on the call too. He's saying, hi, how's it going? He said he clicked the sad face too because he doesn't like
it. The only way to undo a sad face in Facebook's algorithm is to leave 10 eggplant emojis. So
that's what everybody says. Yeah, obviously. No, that's definitely what it is. Cool. So okay, when you're running like an event, let's run through that example so that somebody has something, so that everybody watching has something actionable they can take with them, right? So if I'm, let's say you're gonna go to AJ Fitness and we want to run an event for lead gen, take me through that process. What am I gonna do from start to finish?
Well, it's not evergreen by any means, so obviously you can get your whole team rallying around a specific date, right? And you could start a little further out, like 3 weeks if you really want to. So 2-3 weeks out, you can start collecting leads. What's great about the lead forms, for instance, I like to use those still even just for events, is because even if somebody opens the lead form, it's kind of like Facebook's pixel without having to play with the code. If someone opens the lead form or engages with it in any way, you can retarget them. So when you actually get the leads before the event, I think the biggest thing is actually getting them to show up. So it's kind of like with webinars nowadays online, like people are adding these video, almost like a launch series of videos leading up to a webinar to get people to show up for a webinar.
Show up, yeah.
So we like to do that for events where we have clients create a couple videos that we retarget the audience, and that also stimulates referrals. Tag somebody you think should join you at this event, you know, stuff like that. And that really helps a lot with people showing up. But a lot of times too, the event, it could be like a social event, or it could be a value event, right? Like a workshop, a seminar, You know, grocery tour is tricky, but works really well. Obviously, you're not in your own facility, so gathering leads like that is tough, but oftentimes you get people in the grocery store that didn't sign up for it that can become leads too if you're wearing your swag. Yeah, we used to do that every month at our local grocery store, and it works pretty well. But, you know, even just at your facility, you rent some chairs, you know, you do a workshop, and it's just like a webinar for online. At the end of the workshop, you pitch them something, you know?
And you could even pitch them, like, to add to what you're saying, you could even pitch them a free one-on-one session or a nutrition coaching session, and that becomes your consultation, right? And consultations have changed too, right? Like, you can't just, like, sit down and say, here are my prices. You have to actually offer some value and identify some real problems, and then you can say, hey, jump, you know, I have a solution here if you want to jump into it.
But you can't just draw a picture of how 10 pounds of fat burns 3,500 calories if we put on 10 pounds of fat that you'll...
Exactly.
The old school.
You can't draw a circle
big box gym script.
This is 1 pound of muscle. This is 1 pound of fat. And look at how smart I am.
This is the triangle, the nutrition, the accountability, and the exercise.
Totally, yeah. Here's 20 different options of my packages. You know, which one can you afford? Definitely don't do that. If you're doing that, I would recommend maybe going to three tops. I like just offering one thing because we're the experts. We're supposed to know. Like, so anyway, that's just my thing. Sweet dude. So like that was really helpful for the event. So when they show up for the event, you pitch them either the program or do you typically pitch them a consultation or whatever?
Honestly, usually it depends on the context of the event, but a lot of times the context of the event leads right into a front end offer or like a core front end package that ties in well. So if it's, you know, we used to do like one on flexible dieting, and we used to talk about how bodybuilders figured this out years ago that you're not supposed to continuously diet. At some point you need to, you know, actually increase your caloric intake and all those things. So we kind of positioned it that the optimal time to diet is about 6 weeks for the average person. And that the optimal time to take a break from a diet like that is like 1 to 2 weeks. And then we would sell a 6 week challenge. So.
Oh, okay. Cool. Cool. That's super, super smart. Yep. That makes total sense. Awesome, dude. And then did you build in like a nurture campaign for after they showed up for the event that maybe tried to push them into a 6 week challenge still, or did you just pitch at the event? Was it both?
Honestly, if they didn't show up for the event, we would do like, I would actually do a webinar recording of the exact same presentation and send that out to people for 3 days.
Interesting.
Like, hey, you missed the orientation, but we filmed it for you anyways. Here's the replay. At the end, there's an opportunity to sign up for our 6 week challenge. Starts Monday. You know, we do it on like a Thursday night or a Saturday morning. But the people that were there, if they're not signing up then and there, like they're literally sitting in your gym. Like if they're not going to do that, you know, you're going to have a hard time just by calling them over and over again.
Yeah, that's amazing, though. You guys should write that down because that's gold right there, having a new session and then recording it. And then you could even sell that recording, too, on an email, or you could use it as a webinar presentation, or you can use it as a value add for other clients. Like, all these ideas running through my head.
Sell it and re-get that ad budget back.
Yeah, exactly, totally. You could pay for your ad spend by saying, hey, missed the seminar? Download all of them for $17 or something like that. $7. Yeah. Even as cheap as $7, you probably recoup your losses, but not losses, investment, whatever. Cool, man. That's super helpful. So what do you think, like, obviously lead forms, what do you think in terms of, like, 2017 we should be using, you know, if we have a gym right now, or an online either, right? What should we be doing to generate leads? What's making the most sense? Where do you kind of see the market going?
Well, I think that there has to be I think the days of just running offers to cold leads is dead for us, for fitness, relatively. Yeah. Maybe a local gym, because you're already warm to the fact that you're in their community. That's right. Like almost like a built-in warmness. Like right. It's not like, hey, I'm John from, it's like I passed this guy, okay? But I think I like that there's a lot of people out there that kind of break it down into like awareness and then, you know, moving from cold to warm to hot.
Yep.
I like to keep it simply two stages, attraction and extraction. So half of your marketing could just be adding value, boosting information, basically seducing people to be clients, even just, you know, case studies, testimonials, attracting an audience, and then retargeting that audience with offer opportunities for action, basically giving them an opportunity to take an action other than just consumption of content, right?
Right.
Whether it's enter your email, show up at this thing, apply for this.
Yeah, no, I think that's great advice. I think I agree with it 100%. My buddy Scott Olford, you're familiar with Scott as well.
Yeah.
That's kind of his method that he's been teaching the past year. And I think we're going to start seeing either people give up or kind of fall into using that method because, it's just become more and more expensive to run to cold audiences. Also, all of our audiences are accustomed to these offers now. They've seen it before. You're not the first 6-week challenge, huge op ad, free fitness session ad they've seen. So you either have to have an irresistible offer, like 1 month for $1 or something stupid, yeah, which I don't know if you or I would recommend, but you could do that. Or you have to give them a lot of value for free, warm them up slowly, and then make them an offer and they'll jump in.
I think people too still have a little bit of confusion with the internet marketing when it comes to the context of the advice being given. So a lot of guys that have gyms still think that a lead magnet has to be a digital ebook or a digital video or something like that.
Oh, okay.
When everything that attracts leads is technically a lead magnet. So we've even had clients that very early on with the chat bots. We have done this with the chat bots, but we've done it with lead ads, where it's, you know, give us your email and we'll send you our class times and prices. Like,
wow.
And you know, you just send them an email that lays out the classes and then gives them the big gap of, like, you know, the gap of your prices. Our programs range from this to this in terms of what's for you. We really need to sit down. But like, people, what's the number one thing people ask? Where are you located? What times are you open? What times are your classes? How much do you cost?
Right.
You want that information? Give me your email. That's a lead magnet, right?
Give me your email and I'll answer.
And I'll send
question.
It to you. Yeah. And then
name?
I'll send you.
I want your email first and then I'll tell you who I am and what I do.
Seriously.
Yeah.
But in an ad, it's like, okay, here's all that information. And then here's 3 weeks worth of amazing case studies and testimonials that just like make your mouth water with the call to action at the end of each.
Yeah. I've seen also to add to what, I mean, that's all awesome too. To add to what you're saying, I've seen people get emails for $2-$3 saying, you know, free workout program. And the workout program was an Excel file that the autoresponder sent out. It wasn't anything fancy. They didn't send it to Fiverr to make it look. I mean, I recommend doing that if you can afford, you know, if you have $5. But if you don't, you can literally, I mean, they just needed the leads quick. So they were making it prettier, but they're like, let's just send it out and see if this actually works. And their ad was super simple. It was like free workout, you know, download immediately. You know, if you want to be your best you in 2016, this is last year, download my free workout, 100% free. And they go, enter their email, and that was it. And they were getting leads in there like that, and they were able to email those leads because they were coming in so cheap and sell them actually into online programs, but it could work just as simply for offline brick and mortar as well. So it doesn't have to be anything fancy, I think is the point I'm making, and I think I would echo you. I believe so. Awesome, man. So let's kind of, if you guys have any questions for Mike, throw them in here now. We'll do kind of a couple rapid fire ones here before we leave and I let him go on his merry way. What's new? Like, what are you excited about in 2017? What's going on in your business this year?
For me, I think, I'm definitely pushing, to educate a lot more fitness professionals because, mm-hmm. Obviously, I'm in the business of, you know, running ads for people, and that costs money on top of their ad budget. A lot of people aren't a good fit for that. You know, their ad budgets are relatively smaller. their demographic is smaller. They might be in a community. There's always context involved. You know, their price point might be low. Who knows? So there's a lot of people that I think should just run their own ads. And I'm definitely pushing to educate people more at that with like my FitPro Facebook Academy program. And obviously I'll have, I'll always have clients that I run their ads for them if they're a good fit, you know?
Right.
But I just think it's important right now more than ever to equip fitness professionals with that knowledge, because a lot of them are kind of really attracted to the idea of outsourcing for the sake of outsourcing.
Right.
And not really taking into account, you know, if they're in a position to outsource that specifically to somebody who's going to just take anybody with a credit card that might not even have experience in the fitness industry. Like,
yeah,
somebody who ran ads for a Gold's Gym is not going to have the best idea of what to run for, you know, mm-hmm. a actual fitness professional's facility in the $200 a month or more price range. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. I think we're going to start seeing, because like right now we're seeing a lot of these like 5 to 10K per month Facebook ad agencies, which are just people who learned literally basics of Facebook ads, like the same things, probably less than like you or I would teach somebody. And they're calling themselves experts just because they know a little bit. I think we're going to see, my buddy Dave Rogemoser calls it a draining of the swamp. We're going to see all these people kind of just fall out. They're going to be jobless because it's going to be actual experts like you and other expert agency owners like David Schloss and Adam Earhart and people like that. And all these kind of, not that the little guy is going to go away, but it's the uneducated guy is going to go away and gal is going to go away. So awesome, dude. All right. So one more dumb question for you, and then I'll let you go on your merry way. What is, okay. Couple good questions. Brandon asked, what happened to your hair? Brandon Nurnberger, you know him?
He's one of my coaching clients. He's just being a dick. But in actually, you know, it's funny is he's a local gym owner who I pay him to train me and my girlfriend, and he pays me to consult them on their marketing. Yeah. So like, that's even just a great example of value exchange. Like we didn't barter, we still pay each other,
right?
Even if it's very similar, like that transaction, there's like value to that still. So
it's an energy thing too. Like even if something costs the same, like I won't trade services with anybody. I will pay, even if like, let's say it's $300 for you to, I don't know, make me meals or whatever. And you know, I'm going to train you for $300. Like I'm going to physically pay you and you're going to physically pay me, because there's an energy exchange and there's a mindset shift from, I am actually giving up my hard earned energy for this and I'm going to apply and work hard at this versus, oh, I'm just getting it for free. It's a mental shift that, you know, actually makes you want to apply what you're learning. So
yeah.
Anyway, cool.
Chris Jarvis actually asked about the huge op ads today.
He's asking if you still use them. Yeah.
So here's how I use them. First of all, the context is key. Are you saying you're looking for 10 women for a new program? Is there actually a new program? Is it actually 10 women? That's a big thing. So context is key. Like, you know, don't just like use it and run it, you know, over and over again and then just pick different things, because then people get wise to that. But what I do is I say huge opportunity, and I do a video ad, and I say the copy is, step one, watch this video. And it's a who, what, why, how, you know, this is who I am, owner of XYZ Fitness. What I've got is this thing. Here's why I'm doing it, and here's how to get it. Step two, apply here. And just have a bit.ly link above the video. So all the copy is above the video, and the video itself is the copy. And it's like you in the gym. Like I've really literally have me and my clients do that with a selfie stick.
Yeah.
Just even walking around the gym.
I think that's amazingly valuable information. I appreciate you sharing that here, because Facebook prioritizes video. I think if you can do it live, it's going to be prioritized even better, because you can take live video and run it as an ad. But yeah, I mean, that's great right there. And then you can retarget people who watched your video and didn't apply. Do you happen to do that?
What was that one?
You can retarget people who watched the video.
Absolutely.
And didn't apply.
even by like the percentage of the video they viewed.
Yep. Dude, good stuff.
Are you? So also another thing is a retargeting ad. Everybody, well, big marketing nerds like you and me have all heard the 9-word email before, right?
Right.
Are you still interested in this? That's such a great retargeting ad for people that may have opted into something, but didn't, you know, take the next step or viewed a whole video or opened a page, but didn't go to it. Just sending that out and redirecting them to that, or even just a different way of closing that communication works really well for retargeting.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, I think that's simple advice, but it's working now. And yeah, I think you hit it nail on the head there. Like when you deliver an amazing experience to the customer, then you'll keep them for forever. And then you don't have to worry about application costs going up as much because you know your LTV is a lot higher. You know, if your LTV is only, you know, a 6-week challenge or a 90-day challenge, then yeah, you should stress out about your application costs. But if your LTV is $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 over the course of a year or two, right? Then you have no problem saying, even here's $100 for an application because yeah, it's worth $5K for you. So improving that customer experience. Sweet, dude. All right, so if I like the sound of your voice, I love your hair, I love the beard, where can I find you? Where can I follow your stuff? What if I just want to like, you know, boo on you on your Facebook ad or whatever, just like Brandon did earlier. Where do I find all that information, dude?
Honestly, the easiest thing is right here on Facebook. You could add me as a friend. I haven't reached my limit. You could poke around a lot of the Facebook groups that I'm in, just like your Facebook group, Alicia, stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's kind of like where I'm at right now. I'm kind of in the process of, you know, doing the whole build out, like going through LeadCraft with Scott as well. And you should, by the way, also check out Justin Devonshire. He should definitely be on your show because he just melted my brain on a whole new way of laying out your whole website for the whole SSF method.
That'd be amazing. Yeah. You could hook me up with an intro after this call, man.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I'm pretty easy. You know, I like to get belly to belly with people and, you know, figure out the context of where they're at and make a recommendation from there, what they really need.
Totally. Awesome. So Michael P. Salvietti, if you want to stalk him on the interweb, that's him. You can wave goodbye. Hit him with some hearts if you like him. And, you know, hit him with some angry faces if you want him to jump off a bridge. I don't know why you would, but... you know, you do whatever you got to do. All right. Thanks so much, Mike. Let me get you on out of here. So thank you so much, Mike. That was amazing. You've been watching AJTV episode 11, Facebook ads for Pit Pros. This was a super, super beneficial episode. If you enjoyed it, please leave a comment. Please like it. Please share it. You don't have to buy anything. Just tell other people. Share the love. We're not selling anything. We're just trying to educate you guys. Why don't you? We just ask that you maybe pay it forward, tag some buddies, like and comment. Tomorrow we have an episode with Mr. Darren Casey. And he is a fitness coach for entrepreneurs. So I'm really excited to talk to him. And that is going to be tomorrow. That's going to be a bonus. So it's going to be an hour earlier at 11 a.m. PST because he's in the UK. So he's actually just going to be staying up late to be on with us. So until then, stay awesome and I'll see you tomorrow.